What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Forever Dog.
Oh my god.
What?
I knew this movie didn't do well at the box office, but I didn't know how bad
it
bombed.
Oh yeah, it did really bad. I did see I saw something and I was like, oh.
Holy.
Okay.
I gotta see how much it made.
And I feel bad because
let me tell you, don't look it up.
He's gonna tell us. Right. I feel a part of it though, you know? Like, I feel like it's my fault. Specifically my fault.
Do you guys ever have those moments, like, do you remember the first movie that you realized was bad when you were a kid? Like you didn't know what it was. Like, but you were like, something's not, I don't like this.
Yeah. Well, just I don't have a memory of something like that because, I mean, clearly my tastes are a little bit more like if it's deliberately like a bad kind of movie, I'll like forgive. I'll forgive stuff because I'll be like, this is what it's supposed to be. Right. So I don't have a memory of my first movie that I was like, ugh, fuck this movie. You know, I don't quite have a memory of that. But I know. But this movie, when this trailer came out, I was like, I'm not going to see that. You know, like I think I just deliberately was like, this, there's no way this is good. Like, I don't want to see it.
I did want to see this movie, but I was going to say there are movies that like disappoint. And then there are movies that I thought were bad. But the first time I feel like really thinking a movie was like bad was Batman and Robin. That was the first one.
Ooh.
And that was, I went because I was, and it,
not
and I
Batman
think,
Forever, Batman and Robin.
No, Batman and Robin. Yeah. I liked Batman Forever when I was
Same.
A kid.
Batman and Robin got some good elements to it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, Batman and Robin came out the same year as this movie. But when I saw Batman and Robin, I was so pumped for it. Also, the promotion for Batman and Robin was out of this world. It was like,
all the toys, like, baby, we're here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I remember seeing it being like, this movie is not good. Like, I just remember thinking, like, this is dumb. Like, this doesn't make sense. When a movie doesn't make sense to a freaking prepubescent, you know, kid, you know what I mean? Like an adult, like, your movie is terrible. If you're, if a freaking 11-year-old can be like, actually, something's that logic right. doesn't quite work. The internal logic of your movie isn't quite computing, you know? And I remember specifically being so mad that Bane was like nothing.
He didn't talk. Yeah.
He broke Batman's back, yo, and he was
he was like this weird tertiary character who just like pumped venom into his neck and then but that was it. He was like a goon, essentially. He was just like a glorified goon.
For Poison Ivy. Lord have mercy.
Because it's true, though, because when you're a kid, if I feel like every movie is good. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, it's a movie. <You know?
laughs> Absolutely. It's so true. Just a bunch of people got together. They spent a lot of money and it's on the big screen. Come on,
like,
movies.
Like, I didn't see this movie again, but I remember loving Flubber. I'm sure that movie is absolute trash.
I never saw Flubber, and I always wanted to see it. I never liked
Flubber.
And I think I will never see Flubber, I think, at this point in my life. But I remember that all those little green things dancing around and stuff. And Robin Williams, I was like, oh, snap, I can't wait to see this movie. Never saw
it. Hey, man, it's a bounced around, boop, boop, bop, bop, you know.
And he had a dance number.
He used to dance. Yeah, he used to dance. I remember it. He could dance.
Anything that's like small, you know, anything that's just fun feels like. I mean, there are so many movies that I feel like Robin Williams was in a lot of these movies too. I feel like Hook and Jack.
Okay,
you know.
Okay, wait. I was just about to bring up Hook, and I was going to say there are movies people say are bad that I still like. I just watched
Hook. All adults thought it was bad when they saw
it. First off, Hook.
All adults
in particular,
thought Hook was bad.
Dude, the reviews are terrible. It is.
Man, adults ain't shit.
His sword, Peter's sword alone was super cool. I remember going to like KB Toys trying to find that damn sword.
Dude,
it
was
so
awesome. It was made of pure steel.
Rufio. Come on, baby. Rufio.
You just went into Rufio. Fully missed his transition.
Oh, I didn't hear it because I was talking about Rufio.
No, I was just, I don't know what James is talking about. I was just talking, you were talking about the sword. I was like, the sword was dope. It was made of pure steel.
I don't know what was made. I don't know what was made of steel. I'm not giving it to him. I know that sword was made of steel.
Well, I mean, you know, if you bought it at a store, it'd be fake and it'd be like plastic. But, you know, the real thing was made of steel.
Did you get so close to the mic?
I don't
you
like
got
that.
So close to the mic. I hated it.
Let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City!
Where did that son of a buck go? The Bat
King? They did say son of a butt.
He did.
It's funny because there are curse words in this movie. They're, you know, they drop a couple curse words, but that one they were like, nah, this we gotta say butt.
Well, I wonder if he actually said something like, where the fuck did he go? Like there was their one fuck or something. Because in the I remember this from like as a kid. I used to, you know, tape the TV all the time. So I would this commercial was something that I saw a million times rewatching stuff. And in that commercial, it's where did he go? But like a weird ADR. Mm. So I wonder if they were like, you're gonna say where the fuck did he go? And they're like, cool, we'll leave it in the movie. And then they're like, no, I guess we have to. This can't be our one fuck. We have to get rid of it.
Got it. Well, for those of you who are listening to us for the first time, this voice filled with confidence, just, you know, charisma, stamina.
Wait, what? Why is that?
The voice that will keep on going. That voice
I don't like
that you're listening to right now is Jonathan Braylock.
I have so many questions. Why is stamina a part of? Where is your wife? Like, why is it?
She knows the voice is filled with stamina.
You stop it! I don't want to hear this.
He said stamina like he was pitching it. Like, is this stamina? Maybe there's. I don't know.
Oh man, this smooth R&B voice.
Wow.
I mean, what are you saying? Like, you know, does it feel like? You know, we're at the verses for Bobby Brown and I don't know, whoever hell he's going against. Nah, this is just Gerard Milligan out here smoothing it out for y'all. Y'all welcome. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. And this voice that's all the raindrops and lemon drops and gumdrops is James the Third.
Okay.
You say what was it? Lemon drops and
all
gumdrops?
All the raindrops and lemon drops and gumdrops.
Okay.
You know. Because if all the raindrops were lemon drops and gumdrops, that would be.
I didn't even want an explanation at all.
But I'm saying my voice is all of those things.
I just wanted to know what else was there. Oh my God, we reviewed this movie finally. Lord have mercy.
Yes, we did. Thank goodness.
Yes. And we do review films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. And today we are reviewing the 1997 superhero film. Starring Shaquille O'Neal.
Wow, 97.
Can you dig it? I remember him saying, I used to love Shaq, man. He's still funny.
Kazam came out the year before, right? 96?
Shazam was...
Kazam. What's the name of his movie?
His name is Kazam.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm about to do the same thing.
Okay, Kazam.
I know. The internet thinks there's a movie called Shazam that was made. No, it was Kazam.
Yeah, 96, the year before. He was just making movies.
Mm-hmm. In his off time, baby.
This was movie number two. He had been to the NBA Finals, but he hadn't won yet.
Oh, was it with Orlando by this point?
Mm-hmm. When did he go? He went to the Lakers, the next year, maybe? Oh, wait.
I think so, 99.
Shaq joined Lakers.
Good Burger also came out in 97, so he had a cameo in Good Burger before this movie came out.
He was in LA then. My bad. He did get to LA by this point. Okay.
Yeah, because I remember in Good Burger, he was in LA and he took a bite out of the Good Burger.
Yeah.
Try it.
I ordered pickles in this.
That's why he was able to make movies. He joined the Lakers and he could make some movies.
That's what LeBron did. LeBron was like, hey, man, I've done my job. Now let me go out here and remake Space Jam.
We all wanted it. Everyone wanted this to happen. Absolutely.
Alright. I mean, we will be reviewing that film for sure.
No, have you seen the trailer?
Right now, I'll do my review of Space Jam right now. This movie's fantastic.
Okay, I don't know why you're doing that.
I love it.
Yeah, Space Jam. Yeah, that movie's fantastic.
Space Jam, A New Legacy. That's what I'm talking about.
All right. Here's the thing about Steel. It is based off the DC comic character of the same name. it has a 12% on Rotten Tomatoes.
12%. Honestly, that's too high.
That's higher than Fantastic Four.
The Michael B. Jordan remake?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? That was like 11% or something last I looked. I don't know what it is now.
So, Gerard, this movie cost $16 million to make. What do you think it made opening weekend? It wasn't released overseas.
Four.
What did it make opening weekend? You say $4 million. Do you already know?
I won't say it because I know that you recently read it, but I think I just looked this up and saw it. And it's abysmal.
Draw. It made opening weekend $870,000.
Was it a nationwide release?
It made less than $1 million opening weekend.
Listen, man.
It was released in 1,200 theaters.
That's too much money. That's too much money.
That's too much money for 1,200 theaters?
Here's the thing. Too much money.
Here's the thing. The next weekend, it made $191,000. It dropped 78%. And then they took it out of theaters. This movie was in theaters for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Damn.
Which explains why I didn't see it in theaters. Because I remember being like, oh, Steel, it's on DVD already.
Yeah. I saw it in theaters. I remember it.
Wow, you did. You and a very few others.
Box office was what then total?
It's
total,
full, box f- total box office was $1.7 million. It made money during the day. So, yeah, right. $1.7 million was his total box office.
Okay, so that was the number that I knew. I was about to say that it's opening week and it made $1.5, thinking that that was the number that I read. But no, I read that it's total box office.
Nope, $870,000.
Wow.
Has to be one of the biggest bombs in history.
Mm-hmm. How much did Kazam make?
Oh, I feel like Kazam made money.
I'm looking at it now. The budget was $20 million for Kazam. It was $20 million. It made $19 million.
Okay. So yeah, I guess that lost money too. But at least
at least it won this.
Came close. Damn. Yeah. So that's that. This movie is a superhero origin film about John Henry Irons.
Somebody just told me on Twitter that this was supposed to be interconnected with that Nick Cage Superman movie that they didn't do.
Was it?
Yeah. So someone, I have not verified this, but I believe it.
I watched the doc. Y'all should watch the doc on Superman. It's pretty interesting stuff.
Oh, Superman. I was like, there's a documentary about Steel?
No. Steel, they are doing Steel really good justice right now on Superman and Lois. They're doing them justice, you know?
Yeah, the actor's really good.
Yeah.
Wow, you guys watch that show. Okay.
Well, listen, man, let me go first. Let me get this out of the way. Let me just get my initial thought out the way. I hated every minute of this movie.
Wow.
Every single minute?
The thing is, I you know what it is?
Wow.
Is I realized I had PTSD from this movie. I remember seeing this in theaters. My stepdad wanted to see it. And I was like, because again, like I was a kid who liked superhero movies and got made fun of all the time for like in like cartoons and superheroes and shit. So I have a lot of problems with this movie. I hate that if it's a black superhero, they're usually dealing with some black shit or like the neighborhood. Like, and it's happened in all of them, which is why I'm really happy Black Panther is past that. So like the sequel should be literally like not taking the anti-heroes, taking Spawn, who's a hell Spawn, and Blade out. If I'm looking at Black Lightning dealing with like people poisoning the area. Static Shock dealing with people poisoning the area. Luke Cage only deals with neighborhood and drugs. Like Steel, the comic book character was a replacement for Superman. This nigga was flying and shit. Like he was dealing with some intergalactic shit. You know what I mean?
That's true.
I love Black Panther. Legitimately love Black Panther. But at the end of the day, Black Panther is a black dude trying to stop another black dude from doing some crazy shit. Like the reason that a Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is so important because that's a black kid who is saving the goddamn universe. Every time I watch something with a black superhero, they dealing with drugs. These niggas don't leave a neighborhood. They don't never leave a neighborhood. Fuck Wakanda. That nigga stayed at home. Like that, technically, he was at home the whole time.
He stayed in the neighborhood too. You right. That's
true. I'm like, God damn. Then in Avengers, they brought the fight to his house. That nigga was like, I just opened my door. Y'all niggas coming to my house to fight.
Well, when we first met Black Panther, he wasn't at home.
You're right. When we first met him, Bray, when he got his own movie, that nigga was on his couch, aka throne. That's all I'm saying.
Well, he didn't travel to where? Japan or something? I feel like they went to one.
That nigga did.
They did. They went to. Where did they go? They go to Korea.
Oh man, I get it. It is one of those things that is killing me. And again, this movie is fine. It's just that it was bad. Also, this movie was directed really badly. Like every time something was supposed to happen, it wasn't really dangerous, but they kept making it like it was super dangerous. Now, this is a very poorly staged stunt. This is terrible. It's terrible. It looked terrible. The lines were terrible. I was actually not even mad watching this. I was sad. I was sad at Little Giraffe for having to see this in theaters. I was sad at the adult Giraffe. It took me 6 times. I've been trying to watch this movie for 3 days. 6 times. And you know what? I'm going to admit it.
I don't know why.
I hit the fast forward 15 seconds a couple times. And you know what? I missed nothing because this movie is
Dry,
hot.
You missed something.
It's hot garbage.
Stop admitting that on a movie review podcast.
This movie was hot garbage. This movie is like you literally walked outside and saw a garbage on fire. You're like, oh shit, someone should put that out. And you just keep walking. That's what this movie was. I wish I had kept walking. I'm mad now that we talk about this movie.
All right. Yeah. You're always mad. Go ahead.
No, James. I'm not, Bray.
No, after you, Bray. After you.
Yeah. I mean, look. Here's the thing.
Hot garbage. Say it, Bray. You feel it
in your
heart.
It's a black superhero, man. You
don't
know?
Do this. Like, no, Bray.
It was kind of cool, you know? You know, I mean, Shaq, a big dude, you know?
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, yeah, that dude is.
Oh, my God.
He is kind of like a superhero, you know? And hey, man, he got a hammer. I mean, the outfit looked kind of cool. I actually thought the outfit looked pretty cool. You know, I mean, they didn't have a budget. Let's be real. They didn't really have a budget. So, you know, some of that first chase scene was, it left something to be desired. That's for sure.
Mm.
But I don't know. I don't think this movie is 12% bad. I think this movie is like, you know, like 43%. You know,
43%.
Yeah, I'm giving it
with the 43.
Yeah, 43. Yeah, it's not 12%. Come on, 43. It had a story at least. Here's the thing. I wish a white writer didn't write it. It was very clear a white writer wrote it. It was very clear somebody who didn't care about this character, who didn't really want to do this movie, wrote this movie. There was way too many jokes about Shaq and free throws. I was just like, why do they think this is what we want? I don't get it. There was, yeah, the script was not great. The script wasn't great, especially the dialogue specifically. The actual like plot points was like, you know, yes, it was a neighborhood thing, but like it was neighborhood, but the guy was selling weapons to the world. So, you know, it wasn't just like street gangs. It was like,
we only saw a street gang.
Well, no, at the end we saw, you know, the villains of a bunch of worldwide crime syndicates. We don't,
I
don't
really know. I expected this using the gang.
Not as, you, Bray.
Yeah.
He was using the gang as rats. He called them rats. I always use the rats.
Exactly,
he was
like, oh man, fuck this guy. He's racist. So, you know, I give it a 43%.
Wow.
Come on, baby. Wow. It should have made at least half its budget back, not just 1.7.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
What you think, James?
Wow. Well, look, my goodness. Come on. I mean, what am I going to say? You know, I don't remember seeing this movie as a kid, but I definitely remember the, you know, I don't make these. You know what I mean? You know, I remember that scene at the end. Mm-hmm. So, I guess I saw it and fully forgot it. But like my memory was like,
I just forgot.
I didn't want to see Steel. Like I wasn't a fan of Shaq as an actor. I don't even remember now looking back. Like I can't even remember what I said on the Kazam episode if I had seen it. But like, look, man, watching this movie now, I had a great time. I had an absolute great time.
I'm not doing this.
I had a great time. Gerard's quitting the podcast. This is the last episode of the podcast Gerard's doing. I had a great time and couldn't believe that it was good. Dare I say good?
Good. What was good?
No, sincerely. Now look, now Gerard, here's a caveat that I must say. I have never read Steel proper. So I don't know.
Take out Steel. Shaq?
I did take out Steel. I've never seen that. I watched it knowing nothing about Steel except for what little bit I've seen on Superman and Lois. I had a great time. I thought there were like two moments that were too cheesy and needed to be cut. I was like, they shouldn't have done this.
Two moments?
But outside of those two, maybe three moments, and they're moments. They're like just a couple moments. Outside of that, I was like, this movie's pretty good. And even Shaq, I wasn't expecting to like Shaq in this. And I was like, Shaq, he's doing a good.
Not the worst.
I can't do this with y'all. Honestly, this feels like an affront. Like this, like I refuse to believe y'all like this movie. Like I think this is a con. Like I don't. Like, Bray, like, you're telling me that you enjoyed watching Shaquille O'Neal as Steel with Ray J as his sidekick.
I thought Ray J was great.
Ray J showed up, I was like, oh, shit, the movie can start. Let's do this.
Is this real? Man, Ray J.
Is this real?
Ray J.
Like, all jokes aside.
I can be your Batman. I could be your Robin.
Yes, he was asking if he could be Robin. That was the coolest thing.
You're Dre, I'm Snoop.
If you're a black kid in 1997 and Ray J says, I can be Robin, you're like, hell yeah, we could be Robin too. Why they got all these white
So y'all telling me all like straight up, no bits, y'all both enjoy Steel.
Yes, this isn't a bit at all. Sincerely, cut three moments.
I think the movie's good. It wasn't the worst. I'm saying it was. I don't know why you had to stop it so many times. I was able to watch the movie.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice. Or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earnin can help you today. Make earning a part of your financial routine. Enjoying earnings over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about earning, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Download Earning today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earning app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earning.com/DOS for details. Earning is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
So you open Google Chrome on your phone. You're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road, ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or five-star hotels for two-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The first opening scene, the acting is garbage.
Opening scene was not bad.
No.
So the opening. So let's lay out the opening scene.
Slow motion. Literally, the thing is, I don't know if it's the editing or what happened.
Yeah, he lifted rubble with his bare hands. He wasn't even a superhero yet.
Before he even yells like no, I'm like, this is bad. His acting is bad. I'm looking at this dude with the evil face. I call him evil. Robert Downey, whatever his real name is, this dude is
evil. Robert Downey, the bad guy. What is this actor's name? Let's see. Bad
and then
guy.
All of a sudden, it's like, yeah,
so Judd Nelson. Yeah, Judd Nelson. Yeah.
All he does is push up the dial.
Yeah, that was bad.
He'd have to reprogram it. He literally,
yeah, he set it to maximum. Don't set it to maximum. They haven't tested that. They haven't tested those parameters.
If this is a dangerous thing,
the line
he literally pushed it up with his fingers. There was no code. He didn't have to do a switch. He needed a couple of locking. He had to override it. He pushed it up with his finger in 2 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably, now that I'm thinking about the design specs of this futuristic weapon, it's probably not a good idea to have it be so easy to push your weapon to its maximum setting, because you could do that unintentionally and hurt yourself. They should probably go back to the drawing board on that. But for the purposes of the film, I got it. And I was like, this dude, bad dude. He wants to push it to maximum and he doesn't care that people got hurt.
Braylock, like, I don't know why, but I'm upset with you, yo. Like, I'm legitimately upset. Like, I don't know why.
Look, yes.
I feel offended
saying
by you
should,
right now.
Like, somebody of like Michael Clark Duncan and played Steel, you know, like a real actor who is also big and could fit the, you know, specifications of what this character looks like. Yeah, absolutely. Could they have gotten somebody who trained in acting?
And had they done that, would more people have seen it? Probably. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Right? I mean, right? Yeah. More people
James,
would have
what I'm saying is, I don't know why, but I keep looking at Braylock and I feel hurt. You know what I'm saying? Like, this may be the first time doing a podcast. I just feel like I expected something out of you and you just went sideways on me, man. Like, I don't know what to say right now, bro. This feels wrong.
Yeah,
I mean, you didn't watch the movie. I feel like you did not watch Steel, starring Shaquille O'Neal, Richard Roundtree, and Ray J.
No, I watched that. Yeah, you know.
But the acting in this scene, when he screams, and all of a sudden, like, this man just...
no! You know?
He just...
I liked it. I thought he was cool. I thought in the scene, he was cool. He was like a cool dude. They had a good rapport. All the people in the scene.
He liked the girl.
Him and Homegirl and Sparky.
They had that Sparky beautiful had, black
hey,
top.
Hey, is Sparky in the comics?
She must be, right?
No, Sparky. I mean, honestly, I don't know a Sparky.
Really?
They just made up
like a sidekick?
I mean, I can look, but I don't know
she
a Sparky.
She was a cool sidekick.
Yeah, she was
dope.
Like,
oh.
Let me look.
Hey,
Sparky.
Okay, I give this writer a little more credit. He made up a sidekick like that.
Sparky.
She had a wheelchair that had a gun on it. We got to get Steve to play that.
I also
that.
Generally liked. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, listen. I read that the reason people didn't like this movie was how cheesy it was. And all this stuff that you're describing, like the no and the like pulling up the thing, all that stuff is cheesy. But like, what isn't cheap? Like, we were just talking about how Vin Diesel will like jump out of.
Listen, what Arnold Schwarzenegger could act when he first started in movies? He couldn't act.
I mean, the fact remains, like it took him. It probably took him a while. It took him a while to be good in a movie. Yeah. Now I love Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Hey.
But it took him movies.
Why can't Shaq? Arnold was a freaking athlete. He was a weightlifter. Why can't Shaq do that?
Because Shaq wasn't with a director like James Cameron.
I mean, that's
with a script
that is
written
true.
By James Cameron. This movie.
Hey, you
is
know
like,
what? That's true. I'm mad. Shaq deserved better than this.
Oh my God.
Shaq deserved better than the director and the budget of this film. That man has as much acting ability as Arnold did in his first movie. There you go.
Dope.
All right. I'm glad. Yeah, draws on our side.
I got nothing to say to that. Okay. I got nothing to say to that.
So Sparks is based on Oracle, Barbara Gordon.
It's based on an Oracle and Barbara Gordon.
It's supposed to be like, because Oracle, it's supposed to be based on Oracle?
Yeah, because she's in the chair, you know.
This movie sucks. Oracle, god damn. Oracle is like Batgirl when like she got shot and paralyzed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Also,
that's cool.
This is my thing.
It's kind of weird to just put her, to just make her.
But also,
yeah,
just
but
Sparky.
When you're, you know, when you're trying to figure, they were like just trying to figure out like, oh, who could we pair with Steel?
I guess he doesn't,
you know,
Steel doesn't have an actual sidekick in the comics. Yeah.
If they're going to make up somebody, to me, it's like they had that black cop that he was riding with who we never really saw again, the black woman who was beautiful and funny. And I was like, she could have been the lead instead of having this motherfucker over here gawking over this white lady the whole
movie. She couldn't have been the lead.
Not the lead, but she could have been like, she could have replaced the white girl.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right, that's true. But what you're really saying is that they could have cast a white actor as this military actor as this military.
Yeah, man.
Person.
I'm like, I gotta watch.
But maybe
Steel
was like, I want a swirl on screen.
Yeah,
of course,
that's
we didn't get one.
We didn't get the swirl.
We didn't get the swirl.
That's what's disappointing about this movie to me. It's not that she's white. It's that at the end they hug, and literally the whole movie. They're not just looking at each other.
Yeah, they're not friends. They're
like
freaking
friends.
Romantic interests. Yeah. And then they hug at the end. I was like, what is this movie's rated PG-13?
This is the thing that like they Will Smithed him, yo.
That you're right.
Like,
that is
they
Will
Smithed
Smith,
him,
yeah.
Man. They don't play him for a sexual being, yo. I don't watch this is a
well,
tangent,
they did, but like for a hot second. Also, can we talk about that scene? When he comes home, he starts working at like a steel mill and then
oh,
the these one really attractive extras. Like some women who are like scantily clad but wearing hard hats in the steel mill, and they look and they have a clipboard and they walk by them and they're like, ooh. And I was like, do they even work here? Like, what?
No brain.
What is this?
No brain.
There's two models working at a steel mill wearing true. I was like, what are they wearing? There's hot sparks and lava. Like, what's going on? Like, that doesn't feel like a appropriate attire for this steel mill.
And you still like this movie, Bray?
Yeah, no, I mean,
I feel like you give me a lot of negatives. I feel like you give me a lot of negatives. I don't believe that you like this movie.
I don't know what you don't understand about the fact that this movie absolutely deserves a 43% and not a 12% on Rotten Tomatoes.
You have to understand that 43% is so low. Why are you so mad at him for giving it?
Because it's more, man.
I had a good time and think that Steel is good though. Like I like, okay. Like I couldn't mm-hmm. believe like so much of it like works, you know? And like,
look, the story, there's a story here. Let's be okay, you know, in the military doing top secret weaponry, right? Which yep. is loosely from the comics, right? He was a weapons designer.
Yeah, that's true.
And then this guy Burke, you know, decides to hit the maximum setting on this new weapon that they haven't tested yet. It winds up killing a senator. It killed the senator. They said that senator was dead.
It killed the senator.
Oh, the senator
they
died.
They were like, the senator is dead, and then.
And this white dude just walked off.
Sparky, and this dude got dismissed. I was like,
all he did was
what? The senator died. A U.S. senator.
That's oh my god! Not only did the senator die, but after John Henry testifies, my man is just like, "You sold me out." It's like, what? You killed a man.
He was like, "Thanks for selling me out." He was like, "Dude, you crippled our friend, my friend, and you killed a U.S. senator. You are clearly a bad person, and you only got dismissed." That was wild.
That might be the most realistic part of this whole movie.
Not only did he just get dismissed, but then when high-tech weapons start showing up on the streets of L.A., yes. not one person is like, maybe that dude who we had to dishonorably discharge.
I was thankful that the movie at least had him come up with the idea before he knew for sure. But it took maybe 30 straight minutes of high-powered weapon, but like the only thing the movie did in terms of that was right was he still right. came up with the idea before like seeing him before like, you know, because I was so upset. They were just like, how did this happen? What? Like,
I can't. This movie, I'm playing it right now. I'm still mad.
That's the plot, right? Like, we get it. So Burke is there. He goes So John Henry leaves L.A. I mean, so leaves the military to go to L.A. Burke goes to L.A. with him for no reason. And then, or I guess hooks up with his friend that he knew. So he's going to start designing some weapons and start selling them with the intent of selling them on a global scale. And then separately from that, John Henry is like, man, all these gangs. And so he decides he's going to become... Well, actually, before that, we get him... what was the scene? Oh, no, okay. Was the first scene where he's trying to stop crime when they had the weapons?
Yeah, so basically, like, he's riding in the car with his cop friend, and then, like, I guess a robber... Like, there... Was it a bank robbery? What was happening? Bank robbery. He sees the gun... You know what, man, Bray, I just before we keep going, I was thinking about something you said when you were like, Shaq deserved better. You know what I'm saying? I think you're onto something, man. I do. I think black kids who grew up in 1997 deserved a better hero than this shit. I think all superhero fans deserved a better year than 1997. All right.
Yeah, that was a bad
Batman
year.
And Robin did us dirty. Oof. And if you was a black kid, you had to watch Shaq in a plastic outfit running around. Just running around in a plastic ass suit. Probably made of foam.
I mean, the suit didn't bother me. I don't know why the suit bothered you so much. It was fine. What else was it going to look like?
I don't know. Okay.
If they did it now, they'd probably make it out of like CGI. I don't want that.
I wouldn't like it if they did it.
John Henry's outfit right now is not CGI. It's just actually they changed the color. It's black, but
oh, that's cool though. Actually,
I mean, it's pretty fast. I'll show y'all a picture, homies.
Yeah, well, the costume bothered me. I'm with Gerard. That's probably why I didn't want to see it. Like the costume looked weird to me in 97. But then looking at it now, knowing that it was made in 97, I am far more forgiving of it for whatever reason. So I do need to acknowledge that, like, I was like, oh, this, everything looked way better.
He looked kind of like he didn't look as cool as one could look in that costume.
I wish they put
the S on his chest. I don't know why they didn't do that.
Yeah.
And have him wear a cape. Nah, he didn't need to wear a cape.
They basically treated him like Catwoman. It was like, yeah, this person has the name, but we're not going to treat them like they're actually, like, she wasn't Selena Kyle. Like, he might have been John Henry, but he wasn't Steel. You know what I mean? Like this guy was not Steel. Like, that's, I don't even know how to say it. And to me, again, it's one of those things that's like, out of this era, we got Static Shock because of this.
He's too weak.
No, but the thing is, Steel always was a human. You know what I'm saying? He was just like smart enough to like build this suit. So it's like,
well, Shaq was a human.
Yeah, but he didn't build this. I mean, he did.
He just had Sparky's help. I guess they didn't need to rely on Sparky so much, but like he did. I guess it was Sparky who built it, I guess. Yeah, you're right.
My thing is, like, it's just like one of those things where...
Couldn't he just build it himself?
Like, he was the guy shooting the gun and, like, talking about, like, the plasma or whatever and the sound waves. I'm like, cool, dude. You're super smart. Just be... I always feel like these movies undercut black people for a white person. And I'm not trying to be a dick, and I'm not trying to, like, harp on it, but it's like, you didn't need this Sparky character. You didn't need her being like, him being like, Sparky, we got to fix this. Sparky, you got to do this. I'm like, he took her out of, what was it, her, like, a home or something like that. And I'm like, yo, why are we rescuing this white lady, dog? Why is a white lady in the hood? You know what I'm saying? She over here just chilling and shit. Like, she coming to a barbecue. Like, nigga, whose mans is you? Why am I watching you?
I'm okay with him having a white woman sidekick, except for the fact that you're right. Why didn't he get to build the suit? How come he?
Look at Spider-Man.
Hold on. But didn't he build? Didn't he just have her help building the suit?
She did all the tech. She did everything.
She did all the high tech stuff, and he just like
he hammered the shit. He hammered it. Okay. He hammered it.
He did the welding. She did the tech stuff. I also wanted him to swing that hammer. I was like, man, I wanted him to take that hammer and just knock somebody out with it. And he never did that. And that was disappointing, I will say.
Yeah, the hammer was a gun.
Never used the hammer. He always used the hammer as a gun, which is cool if he was already just using the hammer, right?
Like, yeah.
If he showed up and only used the hammer, and then the next fight, all of a sudden he's like getting beat and then he turns the hammer into a gun, then I'm like, now that's cool. You know, you one up it. But he immediately went to the gun.
Yeah, it was so frustrating that the first time we see him even use the hammer, it's doing exactly this thing that you're describing of like, they're like, oh, put the gun down or whatever. And he holds it in a way that's like non-threatening. And then it's a gun, you know, like it. That's the first time we see him use it instead of
they're like, oh, what's he going to hit us with his little hammer? And then he turns it into a gun. And I was like, no, why can't we? I want to see him, the car coming at him, and he swings that hammer. Yeah, and bust,
I wanted that too.
Bust that car, too. You know,
sounds like you wanted a better movie, Bray.
I mean, look, he needed a bigger budget, and this is what I'm trying to tell you.
They
didn't give him enough money.
No.
I know the studio can say, what are you talking about? We gave him $16 million, and this movie made 1/16th of that. We definitely gave them enough money. We gave them too much money. But no. I'm saying, if you're gonna tank, you tank hard and give this dude enough money so that we can sit here and go, hey, those CGI effects were cool.
If you're gonna tank, you know, tank hard.
Listen, Bray, I feel you, brother. You know, I'm sorry, y'all. This movie just disappoints me. I have it playing in the background, and I'm just looking at it and getting more disgusted as I watch it.
Because you didn't finish it.
I did finish it. The thing is,
the older black actors I thought were so good. Like Richard Roundtree was so good. Irma P. Hall was so good.
I felt disappointed for Richard Roundtree. I was like, this, like, nigga, you Shaft. You don't deserve this.
He was great in it, though. He was great in it.
Hey, James,
and
what's
the
that
gang
dude?
Members too. Hill Harper. And then some of the other guy, I'm trying to find their names. Yo, but I was like, I recognize a lot of these other dudes too.
Watching Hill Harper in this movie, I was like, man, Hollywood don't like black men, yo. Like I looked at him and I watched him eat that hot dog. And I was like, this don't make no sense. Don't nobody eat a hot dog like that. But also I'm like, Hill Harper, like one of the most prestigious black actors, is in here playing a thug who eats hot dogs in a weird way, and that's his quirk. That is the most we know about this guy. It's like he eats hot dogs weird. Like we don't know.
Well, we know he's a gang member.
Don't you do
this? Yeah.
We know he's in the gang. The
purple song. Do y'all remember his name?
Well, I don't remember his name, but I'm looking at it right now. So. I was going to say what it was, but that
the
was not from memory.
Flash. What was his name?
Slats.
What was it?
Slats.
Slats?
Yeah. That's not a name. Slats.
That's a typo, a bro. Look at his name. What's his name?
All right.
S-L-A-T-S.
You know what?
Slats.
With that name, 42%.
That's what made you go down a point?
Yeah,
that's what made it?
A single percent.
Yeah. Nah. You know what? I can't let that slide. 42%.
Listen, no, you know what? I'm not going to bash this movie. Y'all keep
yes,
going.
You are. Yes, you are. No. You did it. You can't We're say you're not going to do something through. You've already done.
No, I'm not bashing this movie. But listen, did I bash the movie or was I being honest with the movie?
Listen, this you're movie got honest. Bashed enough. It made $1.7 million on a $60 million budget. It's, you know, I think everybody involved with this movie knows it was a huge failure.
Yeah, I agree with the way Gerard's talking about how they decided to show John Henry's, how they diminished John Henry's intelligence, because like
they did,
like she would give him intel and he'd be like, I can make it. But like he
was not smart.
A smart like weapons scientist, like he would just be like, oh, those are the numbers, okay, I can't make this jump, I'm not
and
gonna.
You know what, in this same year Arnold Schwarzenegger got to be a freaking scientist, okay? Yeah. We're supposed to believe that dude was smart and could build a freaking cryo whatever generator suit, all that stuff.
His,
yeah. So why couldn't Shaq?
Yeah,
that's messed
that
up.
That is messed up, and it did bother me in the movie. Like every time she would be like, you know, your schematics are saying X. I mean, I know that that's a thing. Like, oh, you're pushing yourself too hard. You need to stop. I'm not going to. But like every time she would bring up a thing that concerned her, he like brushed it off in a way that I was just like, why is he ignoring everything?
Yeah, here's what it could have been, especially since they didn't have the romantic element at all. So it's like, why even have her there? Why couldn't she just be an AI that he built, like freaking Tony Stark?
Yeah.
Hmm? And Braylock, just so you know, what you just said is what is on Lois and Clark. He, like, John Henry does everything on his own, and he has an AI who, like, is his assistant. But what you're talking about, Braylock, is a movie that respects black men. This movie does not respect black men. And the thing is, this is the bigger thing about, again, superhero movies and how it treats black men in particular, is like they aren't smart, dude. Like this movie was written by a white person, directed by a white person. And what did they add in this movie? A white savior who helps this black dude, even though technically she is the one who goes on a really big journey from the beginning of this movie to when she gets injured to like when she like we watch her overcome things. We watch
that
her
is
like
true.
Get that get, is like, true. Get in the chair. We watch her be better. We watch her like take more confidence off. We see her try to defend herself. What does Shaq accomplish? Like what, yeah. like how does and he change?
She was the one that I was looking it up. That she was the one that people were like, oh, Annabeth Gish. She's great in Steel, and then everything else about Steel, everyone was like, everyone trashed it. So that well, is see, true. I mean, she did get the most shine after this movie.
Yeah, and I do notice that sometimes where you have a black protagonist, but then the people who get the story arc are the white side characters, and you're like, wait a minute, how'd they get the story arc?
You mean like in Tenet?
Yeah, I actually do mean like in Tenet. Yeah.
Yo, I completely erased that movie from my mind.
Who's the lead of that movie? It's a black dude. I'm trying to I'm not trying to be harping on race all the time. All I'm simply saying is, and when it comes to black men in movies, you will only see them unless a black person behind it or someone really famous. Like their intelligence will only be capped at a certain level, and they will oftentimes deal with race. Like Tenet, we had this cool ass spy. Who did we learn more about? The fucking white dude. That's who we learned about.
Yeah. What is Shaq's journey in this movie? What's his character's journey?
He made a suit. No, he didn't make the suit. He didn't make the suit.
Is it just that? Is it just
he?
His journey is connected to the plot. Like specifically, it's like his journey is just that he gets to beat the bad guy. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know what his journey is.
Oh, don't please say tell this. Me. That he finally makes the free throw.
He makes a free throw, baby. So he makes a free throw.
I will
that
say.
That was his journey. His journey was he couldn't make a free throw, and now he can make a free throw.
Why are we still
43%,
doing this?
Man. What the? 43%, baby. Come on, get back up there. Yeah. 43.
I couldn't believe that the movie, it actually does build. It builds to him finally making a free throw, which is like the most this writer picked up a Steel comic book and he pissed all over it by having the ending be that Shaq finally makes a free throw is the most offensive thing to the legacy of
this writer. This writer paid their assistant to give them the Cliff Notes version of one Steel comic book. Wait,
what did the writer write before this? Hold on.
So he's the creator of V, the television show.
Yeah.
That was, and he also was the creator of The Bionic Woman, which was also a television show.
Yeah. So he's like he has done a ton of shit. But
for
it's
the
like,
Incredible, he was the creator of The Incredible Hulk, the television show.
The TV show. Yeah.
This white dude was like 60.
Which was a very popular show. That was a very popular show. He had done kind of like comic or like he had done kind of that stuff. That so, you know, look at that. He wrote a bunch
of
episodes.
And I will say what's good about the movie, it's evident that he works in this lane because of the things that are good about the movie. But then the things that are bad about the movie, it also makes sense for who he is, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. So yeah, anyway, because basically he just comes home. He comes home. He's immediately like, what are these gangs up to? And then you're right. The villain gets a nice kind of arc because he's like climbing the underground world power.
But no one takes him serious. So he's got to like kill some folks. So he got to do his thing. But you know what, though? You know what Shaq did? Shaq took time out of doing the gangs. He took time to go get that white woman, tell her she is smart, she is kind, she is important. And then when she didn't believe him, he's like, fuck it. I'm going to pick your ass up and take you unwillingly out of this place while a bunch of black people cheered.
Okay, so this is
the
first thing I
did like.
This is the first thing that they should have taken out of the movie. I couldn't believe that he pulled her out against her will and then for sincerely no reason at all, the entire room applauds him.
And then two people literally high five in front of the camera. I was like, why are you high five?
No sense.
Do you remember the race of those people, Bray? Because I remember race.
It was all different kinds of races.
I think there was one white person.
See? It was all different.
There were a lot of people like, oh, Gerard's frozen.
No, this ain't frozen. That's my face.
No, you're not frozen. He was giving you that. He was giving you that. Really, bruh? Really, bruh?
I want everyone at home to understand the trend.
Yeah.
When you think of this movie, when you think of the worst movie ever made, Green Book, when you think of Hidden Figures, what do all these movies have in common? They are about important, significant, groundbreaking Black people. But yet what hinders the movie are fictional white characters who save the day for no reason. The Black person gotta help, gotta teach for no reason. It's like that movie still should have been about Steel. He literally did nothing. What is one problem he had to overcome?
He was doing all the hard work.
What is one problem?
He's doing all the hard labor.
Don't do.
I'm just saying he didn't do nothing. He was doing all the manual labor.
You know, like in comparison, people, when you watch Into the Spider-Verse, like Miles, you know, he has to overcome like the fright, the fear. He has to just jump, just take a step, right? T'Challa, when you watch Black Panther, he's conflicted about the past, the present. Is he man enough? Is he good enough to be a king? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What does Shaq? What is he dealing with?
Well, he can't make free throw.
So you telling me this superhero, his biggest problem is he can't do a basketball thing?
I mean, look, he got home. Okay. He came home and he was like, it feels good to be home. And then all of a sudden he sees all the kids and they're like, hey, man, hey, shoot one. And he shoots and he bricks it. And they're like, and they're all disappointed, you know? And he was like, I can't live like this because they're all sad. You know, they want to look up to me, but I can't hit a free throw. And we all know that the greatest thing a Black man can do is hit that free throw.
All right.
You know? So, yeah.
We are ignoring the fact that y'all know that execs probably came in and they were like, it's Shaq. Like, they wrote a movie. They wrote a movie about Steel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it was Shaq. And then they were like, all right. Executives were like, we got to talk about the fact that Shaq is 7 feet tall or however tall he is, right? We have to. And here's the thing. When this was happening in this movie, it made me realize how much I fully disagree with the thought that, like, if Batman is Black, we have to hide his Black.
Oh, yes, chin. Yes, chin.
Chin. But it still happens, and it's happening in the current run of Batman right now. He's Black, and they're hiding his chin. But I disagree. It's not crazy that.
Well, no, it was crazy in this movie that they all knew. Everybody with eyes
in this movie
could tell
so
that it was.
You know, even in the lineup,
Henry Irons, it was so obvious that was him. They're like, yeah, they literally described him on the police report, like on the news. They're like, a Black man, 7'6". Well, and it's like, okay, there are not that many.
Well, my thing is, I think James, I don't know if this helps, but I agree with you. I think like we just got to get used to being like to suspend in belief. Like watching Henry Cavill as Superman, this nigga ain't even got the S curl. Like, that nigga just take his glasses off. And he buff as fuck. At least with Christopher Reeves, you're like, all right, you know, this guy looks kind of geeky. He pretends to be geeky. He's tripping over shit. Like, he's tall and gangly. Like, yeah, this ain't him. Henry literally has on glasses, is buff as shit. His shirts be super tight. I'm like, that nigga Superman. That dude right there. Like, I'm looking at him.
But yes, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, it's only, of course, it's obvious because of how tall Shaq is. And anytime they did a wide of him standing next to somebody, it was like, this is ridiculous. But there's all kinds of tricks. Like, Tom Cruise is shorter than everyone in his movies, always. You never know because they do all kinds of tricks and shit. And it's whatever, right? And like, they only called it out because. They were like, we refuse to let people suspend their disbelief. Like, it's Shaq. We got to talk about the fact that he's a giant and we got to, he's Black and we got to do that thing. And we got, you know, like in the lineup, they got one other dude that was kind of tall. And then everybody else was 4 feet, seven. They're probably five. They're probably around my height. But still, they could have got more tall people to come in and be standing next to him.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. They could have got more tall people for that lineup.
I feel like that felt like a mandate after the fact. Like, now that we have Shaq, let's talk about all of this dumb shit for no reason other than the fact that we have Shaq.
Well, that's free throws for sure. I mean, the height stuff, look, I think you do have to address it to a certain degree. That dude is a giant. And it's weird when they have, I mean, I think there are some Arnold Schwarzenegger movies where they don't address the fact that he's a giant. And it's like, what? He's a giant. Like every new person he meets should be like, you're tall, you know? But yeah, I mean, it was kind of, it was the thing, okay, so here's my thing. Because we only get him with the action sequences, really, and there's not really anything else happening for him personally as a character, like there are things that could have happened, right? Because he left the army because we get all these inklings that he doesn't actually like hurting people, right? He doesn't like, he like somehow got into this line of work of like making or testing, you know, these high powered weapons, and he doesn't like that, and he feels guilty about it. He feels guilty that he's doing that. And so like they have like one line where like Uncle is like, hey, like I know you don't like these weapons, but sometimes you gotta. And then Shaq's like, fight fire with fire, or whatever he says, right? And then it's just like, well, no, if that's one of the main, you know, kind of points of internal conflict, we need to see more of that. It can't just be him just fully accepting it. Like, we should see him maybe hurt a bad guy and then feel guilty about it, or mm-hmm. I don't know, like, but he didn't feel guilty about it at all. Like, there were times where he was just like, I'll kill you. Like,
yeah, you know? Yeah. And like, and they're trying to give him the, like, the first Iron Man movie. They're giving him like that kind of struggle without even really exploring it as much as they could, right? Like we're supposed to sort of just assume that the reason he cares so much about all of this is like he doesn't want those weapons on the street, but not only does he not want those weapons on the street, but he's responsible for the development of those weapons, right? And like, now I'm putting all of that out there, you know. So if he had if he did have anything to overcome, it is that. But like, it's, you're that saying, Bray, they don't barely address that.
Man, it would be really nice if they gave this black dude some conflict, maybe made him a three-dimensional character. But you know what
But
you know what they did, though?
Yeah.
They made sure those two white people had some shit they were going through. You know what I'm saying? They grew. You know, even the bad guy, he had levels. But you know what?
I mean, he was pretty cartoonishly bad, though.
That's if you played that way. You know what I mean?
I mean, like, what was his other thing other than wanting power and being like,
at least he wanted
weapons.
Something, Bray. I don't even care if Shaq was
I'm telling you, that is what Steele wanted. He wanted the guns off the street in his neighborhood, and the guns that he was responsible for.
You're right,
That was the thing that he wanted. But because, like, you know, the movie doesn't spend a lot of time on his internal conflict, and also, quite honestly, they probably were like, Shaq's not going to be able to.
Because he doesn't really have a character. Like, who is this guy? Like, what is he, you know, like, what does he want in life? You know, he has this superhero thing, but why? Like, and if it is because he feels responsible for those weapons and he's trying to make amends for all the wrong that he's done in his life, I feel like we just needed more of that. And then, mm-hmm. you know, he has this like kind of relationship with his grandma and the kid, but it's like, I don't know, everything's very loose. I mean, it feels like a kid's movie in a lot of ways. And it is kind of, you know, it was PG-13, but it was obviously a kid's movie.
And their one fuck was going to be, where the fuck did he go? And they were like,
But
and it would have been wasted. It would have been wasted.
I do want to, we haven't really talked about the film like sequentially, and that's fine. I do want to point out that the first kind of real action scene we get is a chase scene between Shaq, who's running after John Henry, who doesn't have a suit yet, and is just running after some kid who has a high-powered weapon on him at the entire time. And I was like, what is his plan here? Like, there's no real plan. And then, like, also, he's, I'm sorry, like, I don't believe that this Shaq can outrun this kid, like, in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't make any sense. And then, not only that, but then he goes through this, like, train yard thing, and it's the trains are kind of moving slow, and I was just like, what are you? It was
there's
so
no suspense.
It was
there's no suspense.
It was so boring. And then it ends by him, like, which was kind of cool. The kid, like, shoots the sound thing. It knocks over a train, and Shaq kind of, like, rolls into the hole. You know, I'm not sure that's how that would have worked, but anyway, it was fun to see. But then we cut from that to the kid, like, running around the corner, and Shaq's right there.
Makes no sense.
How did he catch up?
I'll tell you this. I loved every minute of
no,
that
you
sequence.
Didn't. No, you didn't, man. This is
every
how you
time
did,
they
James.
Cut to
no
a train,
way.
Getting
no
mad
way.
Close to the camera, I was like, oh shit, he about to get hit.
No, you didn't, James. There's no way, dude.
I am not kidding you. This is not a bit.
You love the whole scene? That was
and then Shaq just gets shot in the back.
You just saw Furious 9. How did you like that whole scene?
Like,
it was so, I was like, oh, I was like, man, the boy about to get squashed. The boy never got squashed.
There was never a sense at no point. Like, Shaq, literally, I watched this gun push over tanks. Shaq gets shot in the back with it. It's fine. All right. The weapons technically don't hurt. He has no armor or get shot in the back. That chase scene, nothing happens. When Shaq gets in the suit, Shaq, his first big thing, his Michael Keaton, I'm Batman moment, is him just like walking down steps. As the white bad guy is like about to rob the two white people, he just walks. He walks on the steps. He staples the little dude up, mm-hmm. and then he walks away. I'm like, all right, this is fine. Maybe he's gonna do something badass. No,
that stapling of the thing of I was like, that cloth would just rip. I don't what is that cloth made of that it's holding that guy up?
They made dangerous noise. The thing's supposed to get tense at this next shot when he's like running from the cops, and then like. Can he make it? And it's like, they get scared. It gets tense.
Well, that was tense. I like that scene.
Then when he's like coming down, he's coming down real slow. And then all of a sudden he drops into the trash can. And they're like, are you okay? I'm like, yo, this nigga's in a trash can. Yo, like, he in a trash can.
Well, I knew he was okay, but you didn't know he was okay when he first
the
fell.
Gang was scene
like, oh,
wasn't
dude.
Even fun. Like, when he first is like with the gangs, and I'm like, that ain't even fun. Like, he should have hit the...
He should have hit it with a hammer. Yeah. That could have been cooler. When he used the magnet, it was like kind of cool. It was like, oh, you know. The action in this movie, it did feel like TV, and that's what the director is known for. Mm-hmm. So it did feel, especially, it felt like 90s television. That's for sure what it felt like. The action was not as cool as it could have been. The motorcycle, him, all of a sudden, I didn't know the motorcycle was going to be there. And then when the guy was like, that's cool. By the way, look at that. Dark Knight didn't do it first. It was freaking Steel, baby.
What are you doing?
Steel, first one.
What are you doing?
To have.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Dark Knight, famous scene with the two cops when they're doing the huge chase with the truck and they're talking to each other. Steel did it first.
There it is, baby. Steel did it first.
I feel like this episode is a prolonged troll. Like, I feel like, like, is James, I feel like you truthfully like the movie. So I'm not, like, I figured that coming into that. Braylock's smile, I don't know if he's genuine. I can't genuinely tell if this
Bray
is like,
Bray gave
honest.
It a 43%. Hey, so you
honestly,
have to
Gerard,
take
I'm
everything he
serious.
Says.
I'm dead serious. This movie deserves 43%. I'm dead serious. Not a joke. This movie absolutely deserves 43%.
That's not even 50. It's not even half. Like, he's
12%.
Not even
too much. A travesty.
That's 43 too is too much.
That's too much, yo. That's too much. Yeah. I'm sorry. I am sorry. Like, what y'all want to talk about? What else are you talking about on this movie, man?
I don't know what else to talk about.
Do we talk about the ending?
I do want to briefly mention that Gerard has a point about the weapons. It was kind of confusing that the first time we see the weapon, they're like, look what it did to the target. And the target is smoldering where it got shot. And then we proceed to see people get shot in this movie with those things. And it is nothing more than like a little tiny burn. Like, I it felt like a hot grease gun. Like, I was like, Isn't this the weapon that can pierce through metal? Why is it barely leaving?
It's the weapon that paralyzed somebody.
People are getting shot with it all the time. I was like, shouldn't there be a searing hole? Well,
she got paralyzed because she was under the. She got hit by the wall.
She got hit by the wall.
Oh yeah, true.
But yeah, that part didn't quite make sense. This bad guy, he was a step ahead of them a very long time. So I actually think the tension between the bad guy and Steel was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm actually shocked it took them so long to figure it out. Like that was a part of it too that made me mad. Like the bad guy was so far ahead of them. They're like, we're triangulating. We know they're gonna, you know. But the bad guy was like, they were never in the junkyard. Like, just be at the junkyard. Y'all know where they're at. Like, you figured that out 3 scenes ago.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
I did like that the bad guy knew immediately, like, when he was like, I wonder who that could be. Like, he just immediately knew.
It's a 7-foot-tall black dude in a suit.
Yeah, using the same weaponry that only the few of us that were in this top secret program could use.
But that same thing took Steel 4 more scenes to figure out.
Because he wasn't smart in this movie.
That same understanding took him 4 additional scenes to figure it out.
That
presumably the smartest man in the movie.
It wasn't spectacular, I will say. It was cool that he made a free throw. But
no, it wasn't.
Other than that,
it wasn't, because they built. I hated that. It made me so mad because I was like, I went on this journey with this character, and it was a journey. Jarrah.
You did not.
I went on this journey with this character, and it built to him being locked in a room, no bad guy in sight, and all he and. Ray J also could have done this shot. Like, I don't know why.
Ray J was like, you have to do it.
and then he built it to a free throw, which still, I mean, I guess it's because it's like, you don't want to give a bomb to Ray J. You don't want to give an active grenade to a kid.
What do you mean? Reason. He had it in his hand. He picked it up and then gave it to the other. I was like, how much time? This grenade is giving them a lot of time.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, oh, yeah. This movie.
It's like, I've never seen a grenade be that slow.
This wasn't Iron Man, you know, tricking Iron Monger, because Iron Man figured out that, you know, you had to worry about going in the cold, and Iron Monger couldn't do it. Like, it wasn't that. This wasn't T'Challa realizing, like, oh, when the train comes, the vibranium opens up so I can stab him. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't that. You know what this was? It was a nigga throwing a free throw. That's what this movie came down to. What? Not his intelligence. Not him outwitting somebody. Not him using. Not him learning how to work with a team. It came down to his physical prowess in sports.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this movie summed up. Hey, I know you might have a suit, but at the end of the day, can you make this free throw shot, nigga? It's offensive. This movie felt offensive to me. My eyes are offended. My young soul was offended. My old ass soul now is offended. And I'm looking at you now, James. I was looking at Bray.
Why are you looking at me?
Because
now?
Because James, I don't want you not to enjoy this movie. I like when you happy. But just know what this movie is. It's offensive to black folk everywhere, black men in particular.
Here's what I'm saying, all right? All that may be true, right? And this movie made $1.7 million. Wow. So really not great. I know this movie isn't. But I'm saying it got made. They made it. Shaq was in it. This is a character that I hadn't heard of at the time. I didn't even know. I didn't even learn that Steel was DC until like years later. Like, I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know. I thought they just make it up.
No, man. When Superman died, the reign of Superman, he was one of the Superman.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Because like, we didn't have Superman, and this black dude was like, I'll do it.
That's what I'm saying. This black dude was like, hey, I got it. You know what I'm saying? Of course, it was a bunch of them, but it was like, we had a black dude, man. It was like, look, man, we can talk about the ending, but I just want to say to Hollywood, black people can save the world. That's all I want to say. Like, if you're going to make a superhero movie, you're going to make a spy movie, we can save the motherfucking, we can save the country. Black women do it all the time when elections come. We can save shit. Like, we ain't got to just do the neighborhood stuff. We're more than just, like, guns and drugs in the neighborhood, man. Like, we deal with cops all the time. We can deal with cops and save the world. You know, you could do a little bit where it's like, oh, you know, like, Captain America can go in this building. You know, T'Challa got to get pat down. Like, you whatever the fuck, but he can save the world still. Every superhero don't have to just deal with black stuff specifically, man. It hurts. It literally hurts. And also, I think it limits black kids' imagination, because at the end of the day, if all these comics only show them dealing with one thing, but I get to watch Iron Man, I get to watch Thor, I get to watch fucking Spider-Man, who is supposed to be like a low-level superhero, save the world continuously, and no black person does it? Come on, man.
Well, he's
man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, though.
The neighborhood! But that's my point. The neighborhood Spider-Man gets taken out of the neighborhood to save the world so often, bro. Like, Luke Cage, right. Don't leave
not
Harlem.
Not in his first movie. Well, I guess in Tom Holland's first movie. But, you know, not in the other ones. Not in their first
movie. Because in Tom Holland's first movie, it wasn't an origin story for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it wasn't his movie.
Even if he
also did still save the neighborhood in his first
but
movie.
But what I'm saying, but
he?
Even
in
if...
In his first movie,
they're saving at least all of New York. They're like, literally in Andrew Garfield's one, Lizard is trying to turn all of New York into fucking lizard people. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's true.
Like, Willem Dafoe is blowing up the government and everything else.
L.A. was getting torn up by the...
I mean, if those weapons got out, I get that this movie in particular, I know you're doing your Dear Hollywood.
No, but it's done. This movie, I just want more for black superheroes. That's all I want. I just want more than just every single thing being a goddamn protest, everything being about a cop. It's like, yo... That's like if you took every female superhero
weapons being sold on the worldwide scale.
Was it? Because that nigga couldn't get out the basement of a building.
I know, but they came to him, which was honestly, wow.
Sarah knows that I recently just wrote a superhero thing that is
I love it, James. But you know, I've told you the whole time I felt
about it.
I just
feel like he's talking directly to me.
No, I've talked about it not just to you, James, but I say it all the time. I said it to cameras. I said it to everybody. I'm just like, we get on, but just expand. Like Black Panther, this next one, it should be more. Yeah. It should be more. That's all I'm asking.
Well, here's my thing, and this is, you know, not a bit. This is a real question. This is not a bit. This is a real question.
You got to specify.
Okay, y'all, this is not, I swear it's not a bit, but it's a real question. Who would win in a fight between Steel and Hancock? Steel versus Hancock, if they did that, that'd be so cool.
James, when you say
it's not a
bit,
it's a real question. I tried to preface this with it's not a bit. I'm sincerely
this feels like well, a bit. Are we saying the DC version of Steel or this version of Steel? Because I think
that's
this version
question.
Of Steel
I
would
don't
lose
know.
Pretty
I feel
quickly.
Like it can't be DC's version of Steel. It got to be this movie's Steel because Hancock only exists in a cinematic universe.
Yeah, because this movie's version of Steel, he took some L's, some pretty easy L's. You know what I mean?
Yes, he did.
Some pretty easy L. It was like, you can't win one-on-one with a guy with a gun. Like, if you can't win that, then I don't know what we're doing here. You know, you are not a superhero. I'm sorry. okay. Also, the bad guy wasn't even really a supervillain. He was just
a mad dude. He was just a mad white guy.
I'm okay with that. If he had a suit, you know what I'm saying? If he did something, I just wanted it to feel like a superhero movie, and I just don't think it did. But
we didn't really get like too many superhero scenes because he stopped the guy with the knife, which like, of course, right? And then he stops two gangs from shooting at each other, which, you know, wasn't that cool. I mean, like the him using the electromagnet and the gun, it was like, okay, but it still wasn't that, you know, it wasn't that heroic, I guess, because they were shooting at each other. And then he gets away, and then he doesn't stop them when they're robbing that bank. He takes a big old L there. And then he takes another big old L when he goes to stop them at the end. And really, I mean, the person who did the most damage was definitely Sparky with her wheelchair.
When Sparky's wheelchair, that's true. You're right. When Sparky's wheelchair ignited, it was like, wow, this is great. Like when she really started going with it,
And then,
damn, you're right.
Really, he didn't do anything. He just got shot by the bad guy.
And damn.
Just luckily, the armor, I guess, was good enough to so that it just ricocheted off him. But he didn't really. Aww, he didn't
come
do
on,
anything.
Man. I liked Steel. I had a good time. Sparky did help it when Spark. I got.
Oh,
I was
wait
never
a minute, James.
Excited the
I'm
whole
sorry.
Movie.
Jim, my bad. He did do something heroic, my dude.
Don't
my
you dude, say it.
He was locked in a room with a grenade. And he got the assist from Ray J, and he shot a free throw.
Yeah, I'm
43%,
done.
Baby. Come on,
I'm
43%.
Done. Let's end this.
Hancock threw the ball over the fence. Hancock would.
And
wow,
he jumped to go get it, too. Remember Hancock? He jumped over the fence to go get the ball back.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
It's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much
nothing.
We like them.
Nothing.
But whether they help the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. That's how we do it, Drop.
Yeah,
you hear
nothing.
Me? It doesn't matter how much you liked it. The cause of leading black actors in Hollywood.
This ain't getting nothing. Ray J was
and
on before this.
If it fully helped the cause, Gerard, you gotta give it a black fist. And if it somewhat helped the cause, Gerard, you gotta give it a white palm.
Just getting nothing.
Only if it doesn't help the cause at all does it get nothing.
Then you know what? When James gives stuff two black on fists, I'm about to give this
here we,
two nothings.
Hey, on the count of three. All right, here we go. One, two, three.
I'm giving it nothing. James gave it nothing?
Yeah.
All right. This movie got one white palm and two nothings.
I'll say why I gave it nothing first, because I know that is a surprise.
Oh, my goodness.
I almost gave it a palm.
Oh, right? Man.
And I almost gave it a palm because of all of the black actors that got a role in this, and the fact that it is, you know, it's a black lead and it's a black superhero, and it's rare to bring like a character that's not like everybody's name character, you know, it to the big screen. But the reason I gave it nothing was because the movie made no money. The main character is not an actor. The main character is played by someone that's not an actor. It was like. They you can tell they rewrote the movie to fit it around this personality. And because of that, that hurt the movie, you know. And so I just don't think it helped to promote the black actors in this very much. That's why I gave it nothing.
All right. Well, you know, I gave it a palm because, you know, technically, you know, it does star a black a man who is acting in another movie. So, you know, he's technically an actor. And also, you know, Ray J's in it, you know, and he didn't go
Ray
on to lead, to lead films, but it gave him a chance.
That's not true, bro. He led a very famous movie.
Well, don't do that now.
What? He led a super famous movie. I saw it.
Don't do that. Don't look. It
what?
Felt like you...
Well, I'm just saying,
you somehow managed to look at all of us in the eye when you said that.
No, Bray said he didn't get to start movies. I might need to change my score.
That's not a movie.
But you know what? He didn't benefit from that movie. The other co-star did. So you know what? See, he got fucked over again. God damn it, Ray J. Come on, you know, brother.
Hey, man. It showed. Yeah, Richard Roundtree was like, hey, man, he still got it. You know?
Oh, yeah. Richard Roundtree.
Yeah, yeah, he was good. He was good.
You know,
I mean, that might be worthy of a palm.
He gave people a chance.
Can I give it
a half palm?
Why'd you give it nothing, Gerard?
I gave it nothing because this movie was a waste of all of our time.
It was with, like, the most entertaining thing about this movie was us talking about it on this podcast. That was the most entertaining.
If any, okay, but that's not the
I'm about to get there. Okay. All right. For people at home who listen to the podcast and they're like, oh, we've seen Steel. They're like, man, you guys are more entertaining than that damn movie was. And the thing is, Shaq, I'm looking at his IMDb, he didn't make a lot of movies after this, probably because he was like playing in NBA.
Nah, he sure did.
He didn't make a lot. He did a couple cameos. Ray J was already on Moesha by this point, so he was chilling. Richard Roundtree was Shaft. And the person who has a really good acting career right now, let's guess, the white lady.
Yeah, and I'll also say, it's not just because he was in the NBA that he didn't do more movies after this. That is certainly not why.
And the thing is, don't get me wrong. I'm pretty sure people out there love this movie. Like, I love when people love bad movies. I like Mario Brothers, and it's god-awful. You know what I'm saying? It's terrible. But I'm like, okay, at least we can acknowledge they try something different. This movie, I truly do think, and maybe I'm taking out a lot of anger based on, like, what I see happening in the comic book world for black people right now. And James, I'm not talking about your thing. I get it.
I know, but it's hard because it is such a trend. And I know this isn't a comic book podcast, so I haven't spent a lot of time talking about my POV there. But like, I like a lot of this stuff that's coming out that does it well. Sometimes it's not done well, but some of it does it well, you know. And then I know that probably for somebody like you, you're exhausted because that's all it's ever. Yeah,
I just want to see an option. Like, to me, it's like, this movie is the epitome of like the option. I think that's why Blade was so fresh when he came out. Yeah. But yeah, man, to people who love it, I'm sorry I bashed your movie. I could have went harder, but I didn't. And this was reserved. This I've grown, y'all. Look at me being better. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Nah, how much of the movie, on this rewatch, though, how much of it did you see? How many times did you press the 15?
I pressed it a lot, but for some reason, like, for this movie, and I know we've watched worse movies, like Red Tails was awful, but I remember, like, watching it, I remember the feeling.
We didn't say Red Tails was awful.
We didn't say that? What did we say?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Have y'all seen Red Tails?
Stop this. No, I mean, honestly,
I didn't do a bit right. earlier, so have you guys
did
seen,
do a bit. No, again, like, I'm not saying it was bad. It was just one of those things where I've never had this experience before doing this podcast, but I remember the feeling of being upset watching this in theaters. Like, I actually remember being in Rivertown, being like, this is bad, and being upset because I didn't want to see it. My stepdad wanted to see it, and I was like pissed. I remember it. I had no nachos because they only get a little bit of cheese, and he wouldn't buy extra cheese because it was like $3 more, which is like, why is it extra cheese $3? That's half the damn nachos. Anyway, guys, this is great. I love it. Can I pick the next movie?
Didn't you pick this one?
No, you did. You picked me? This.
All right. Oh, okay. All right. Well, anyway, here. Thank you guys for listening. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. Get links to our merchandise, t-shirts and iPhone covers and pillows and things. You can also, you can subscribe. You can subscribe to our Patreon. It's defunct, but, you know, we got a year's worth of episodes if you haven't listened to it. Also, if you rate and review us on iTunes, give us 5 stars. We'll read your reviews on the air, even when it's a trash review like this one. This is by Queso
a trash review?
Corrado. Oh, no. Yeah. This is a trash review. Queso Corrado. It says, white palm to Braylock with a winky face. I want a winky face. You give me a white palm. It says, I love this podcast. It's so fun and honest. The guests are fantastic, and it's so great to have guests from different backgrounds in entertainment. Only criticism is that Braylock interrupts and dominates the conversation too much, and the best episodes are when all the voices are heard more equally. First of all,
you know what? Wow. Let's talk right now.
I dominate the conversation?
Yes. Wow. Yeah, I agree.
They must not know that the voice that they are listening to is Gerard.
I don't dominate. I just get mad every now and then. Okay, every now and then. Melissa, who dominates?
Okay, don't bring Melissa into this. She doesn't need this today.
Not for everyone at home, Wednesday. Melissa's our producer, and I keep trying to get her to talk on this podcast, and she just never bites. She refuses.
Well, Well, anyway, we'll just say that next week, Jarrah, you'll love the next review. That's all I'll say.
Oh, snap! Okay.
All right, when am I going to love the next review?
James, people I'm already jealous
of the review.
People always love you, James. They always love you.
I'll say it.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Peace. Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!